Drummond.
Each season at the Cozy Corner Gift Shop brings a new reason to stop by the gift shop inside of Shared Memorial Hospital. You'll be surprised by the handbags, sweaters and wraps, jewelry and home goods, cards and thoughtful gifts. It's amazing how they fit it all in there. Shopping at Cozy Corner also means you're giving back to care in your hospital programs. Visit the Cozy Corner, just inside the front entrance of Shared Memorial Hospital, where every gift shop purchase has a purpose.
Your time is valuable, and so is your marketing investment. The Shared Media Marketing Group provides a complete strategic approach to help your business grow. We develop a clear, customized plan that aligns your digital, social media, radio, television, and print, so every message works together, and the result is greater efficiency, stronger brand consistency, and measurable results, and no scattered efforts or wasted dollars. Just a smarter way to market your business. Contact the Shared Media Marketing Group at sales@sharedmedia.com.
This is Brad at Primerate Motors. If you're looking for a good, honest, pre-owned vehicle, stop by and see what we've got on the lot. Pickups, SUVs, and cars that are ready for Wyoming roads and Wyoming weather. No runaround, just solid vehicles at fair prices. Whether it's for work, ranch, or just getting around town, we'll help you find the right ride. Primerate Motors at 2305 Coffin Avenue in Sheridan, or visit us online at primeratemotors.com.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Tuesday, August 4th, from the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. And this morning, we are joined by Bighorn Arts Collective co-founding member and executive director of the Weill Performing Arts and Education Center, Aaron Butler, and collective program and strategy coordinator, Turner Bruce. And over the phone, we're joined by UCross Artist Residency President and Executive Director and Vice President of the Bighorn Arts Collective, Caitlin Adlisberger. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Morning.
Good morning.
Caitlin, do we have
Good morning, Floyd.
Yes, you have me. All right. So we're going to start off real simple for individuals out there who may not know, and I'll go with Aaron since you are a co-founding member. What is the Bighorn Arts Collective, and why was this initially formed?
Gosh, the big hard-hitting questions first.
We only look for results.
I do appreciate that. I'm so glad. So the Bighorn Arts Collective actually was created five years ago, it's been that long. A group of the sort of local arts organizations, some of the more prominent ones that a lot of people are familiar with, UCross, the YO, Brinton, Sage, and the Nelchi Center, and a few others, got together in sort of an informal way to start wondering about what would it be like if we as arts organizations sort of gathered our energies in an effort to make a bigger impact on our community. And that's sort of how we started, really informally. And as we continued to have these conversations, we started to understand that, or believe that we could have a larger impact, especially if we were being more collaborative, communicating better within our own organizations, and of course sending that communication out to the larger community. So we started to formalize things and created the Collective Arts Festival, which actually came off of Celebrate the Arts. So if folks remember Celebrate the Arts, this arts festival is based on that concept, but in a more one day way, like not so spread out, right?
More concise.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Right. Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Aaron, but Celebrate the Arts was essentially like a week long, or was it a month long kind of celebration, mm-hmm. where people had to go out to UCross. People had to go out to the Neltje Center. And they were different weekends kind of divided up between the organizations to hold various events, correct?
That's right, yeah. And it has been a number of iterations. So it has been a week long. It has been a month long. It has been any number of ways in which Celebrate the Arts existed. And we give, of course, Kim Love a lot of that credit for really helping to spearhead Celebrate the Arts for so long. And then we, as this Bighorn Arts Collective, we did try a few of those models and sort of thought, a lot of the people that are coming to the Celebrate the Arts were artists, were people like us. And gosh, wouldn't it be great if we could just, again, harness that energy and create a one day celebration that was, as you said, more concise.
Yeah.
So going back to the Bighorn Arts Collective, we have been attempting to become grow a larger impact, and very, very recently hired our very first employee in Turner.
Hello.
We are so excited to have him, and he is so phenomenal. He's doing so much work, and all the things that we as essentially executive directors of our own organizations would love to be able to do. He is taking that and just like football pass forward. I mean, he's sprinting ahead with the collective, and we're so grateful for that.
Now, when it comes to the organizations that belong to the collective today, which organizations in the community does that make up?
Well, as Aaron mentioned, the YO, YO Play, which is part of the YO, UCross, you have the Brenton. We also have the Neltje Center. We have SAGE, and we have SPAC.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe I covered...
Yep, that's everyone. All of them. Shared and Public Arts Committee, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a broad range. It's a lot of different groups, but I think we've been able to sort of take everybody and put them into a format and sort of present everyone in a way that everyone can get more information from. Mm-hmm. And I think that's been a big part of my drive, is to make the collective a place where all the information is available for everyone for all sorts of different types of entertainment, art, etc.
Kind of like a hub. So if anyone wants to know anything, well, what artsy event is happening this weekend? Well, I can check the Bighorn Arts Collective, and I can see it, because all those organizations are throwing everything into one pot, essentially, of information, throwing it onto one calendar, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. So you can just check that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you work together with the other organizations throughout the year, Aaron?
Well, we're all friends, so that has its perks. We started, and we still do this, by having essentially monthly meetings. So it's a way for us to, originally it was a way for us to just check in with one another. Again, back to that collaborative piece and communication, you know, what do you have going on? Tell us more about what projects you're working on. And we would all sort of go around the room in that way. And now we have more formal board meetings.
Mm.
We have a sort of an executive committee who has separate meetings with Turner. And then we have larger board meetings. And of course, eventually our intention is to maybe open up opportunities for membership, to help make the collective a little more sustainable financially. And then of course, to be more inclusive. For those other arts orgs or individuals in our community who would like to participate. But we do a great job of communicating, and Turner is really the key point in that, especially now. He's really sort of the guy who holds all the communication keys, and I don't think it's particularly easy, because we're all very busy in our own ways, and perhaps not as ready to answer questions as quickly as we should.
Well, when I think about the organizations coming together and sitting down and having the conversation of, you know, we're going to take this month-long sometimes a week-long thing and throw it into one day. What were those conversations like in the beginning? Who was the one who said, you know what, let's just put it as one day together where we can gather all these artists in one spot and just go for it?
Gosh, I don't know if there was just one person who did that, but there were a few of us who certainly were like, wouldn't it be cool if we didn't have to go, not have to, but it didn't feel like we needed to spend our entire month going to these places
and planning.
Planning, yeah. And wouldn't it be great if our energies were better spent on this one larger effort? And in a way, a better way for us to showcase, again, the collaboration, but also the kinds of arts that we all do individually, or that we all help support individually. So of course, there's visual, there's live performing, there's hands-on stuff. There's lots of ways that we individually interact with the community, but even better, we can bring it together and provide that for everyone at the same time. So that was a fun idea to consider. That was 3 years ago. This is our third year, and so it's been cool. It's been cool to explore, for sure.
In 3 years, and it's 3 years for a big festival like this is still within the infant stages. Mm. I mean, in a way, you're still, yeah, we like this. No, we don't like that. Maybe we can do better. You're brainstorming going forward, trying to lay it all out. How have you seen it change in just 3 years, or has it? Did you guys kind of hit the mark the first time and decide, you know what, let's just stay the course on this one?
Certainly not. No, that did not happen. But it has been good, as you say, to try different formats. So the last 2 years, we started earlier in the day. This year, we're starting later in the day so that we go sort of like, not late in the evening, but later in the evening, maybe to avoid some of the heat. We'll see. And of course, the park itself has changed. So the way in which we've had to reconfigure sort of the layout has been dictated by like the addition of the playground at Winnie Commons, right? That came last year, and which in a way was a really cool addition because it forced us to think differently. And I think the layout that we have now based on what we had to do last year is more successful than it was prior to that.
Yeah.
So we've done some different things. We've tried some new things. And then what? Third time's a charm. That's what they say, right? That's a term.
Turner, what does the collective's mission mean in practical terms for Sheridan County itself?
Well, I think it's to me, I mean, and we, our mission itself is sort of what Aaron was talking about. It's the collaboration. It's bringing the resources of all of these entities together to help give better offerings to the community for the arts. And I think that's a great mission to have. I think that, our community could always use more arts, more collaboration, and more participation. And I think it's such a great thing for me. I grew up here and I have always felt that there was something needed like this. So it's a great mission by the entities here. I think they're doing a wonderful, wonderful thing for the community. So.
Aaron, has the membership grown at all? Was there ever kind of an outlying arts organization that stood up later on and said, you know what, hey, can I be a part of this?
In some ways, it's changed. Not really grown. I wouldn't say that's true yet. And a lot of that is just based on, again, our busyness as individuals, individual leaders in our own arts organizations, and sort of a need for someone like Turner to really take the reins and help guide us through some of those challenging logistics. Because we want to be extremely thoughtful about that growth. Gosh, you'd hate to do something that maybe was not the right path and going back is so much harder, you know, than trying things again thoughtfully. So we are hoping to grow. That is our intention. But again, we want to do it with planning. And as Turner just said, the intention, of course, is to provide great things for our community, and to leverage our resources and to really be a catalyst for the arts in Sheridan. So we want to do that in a way that is sustainable, for sure.
When it comes to planning, this I think Turner is a fantastic addition. Not speaking on anything from the past that I can remember, but I imagine it's probably nice to be able to say, who's going to do this? Who's going to get this done? I've got a concert to put on. Caitlin's got something going on at UCross. The Britain's got this massive exhibit coming in. As you said, everybody is so busy. It's got to be nice to turn to Turner and say, do us a favor, get that done so we can all go focus on something else, right?
Life-changing, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And in the best way, pushing our group to do the things that we've talked about doing but haven't had time to do or haven't had the capacity or haven't had the energy. And Turner has spent so much time doing these things, and he's really been truly such a... I don't think we understood exactly what a staff member looked like.
Yeah.
And it was really important that we found the right kind of staff member, because as you just mentioned, we're all so busy and it's very difficult for any one of us to focus our entire energy on this particular thing. So we really needed someone who A, understood the arts, and B, understood Sheridan. And C, had the drive and willingness to do a lot of things sort of on their own. And Turner has all those things in spades plus more. So, it's been awesome. And we're so excited to of course to do the festival, which is coming up very soon, but even move past that, because that's one tiny portion of what our goals are for the collective in terms of just, again, harnessing the power of the arts for our community.
When I think about the future of the Bighorn Arts Collective, as a organization of organizations, are you eventually thinking grant opportunities or things like that for artists?
You know, I don't know that the funding piece is still a question mark. Okay. As it is, I think for all nonprofits, we did get our nonprofit status, which took longer than it should have, but it happened. So we're proud of that. Maybe that might be a secondary thing, I think, in terms of what, where we would head with our group. But I think there's lots of possibilities for sure.
Now, we haven't heard much from Caitlin, so I'm going to jump right in and ask her a question.
Hi, Caitlin.
Caitlin.
Hi.
Let's take an individual who's never actually attended one of these festivals. And I believe you've been to the first two. This is the third. What can somebody expect if they just show up?
So if somebody just were to show up to the Collective Arts Festival, or even if we wanted to take a step back and say somebody wanders into Whitney Commons on Saturday, August 8th, around any time between 2 to 8 p.m., I think that person would be really delighted and surprised in the best way to discover this really vibrant festival that is a true celebration of the arts. You know, really exploring and celebrating the visual arts with the Artisan Village, which will have, artisanal makers, artists, really across a lot of media. We're celebrating the literary arts in partnership with the library. So if somebody wants a quiet moment to peruse books or even listen to a reading, that will be available. We're celebrating the performing arts with live music, this really wonderful full slate of live music across so many different styles, from folk to children's live performance from Wild Play do a Native exhibition dance, also ending with the Imaginaries, a folk duo. And then also we'll have the opportunity for people to make themselves, to create themselves, both with our kind of our experimentation station, which will have printmaking and poetry all day, which will be allowing people to kind of express themselves in these different art forms, as well as the creation station, which is a really adorable, honestly, all ages art space for people to draw or paint or just create whatever is inspiring in the moment. There will be just the art. It will really, the Whitney Commons will be totally infused with the arts. And I think it will be surprising to people to see how much exists in our community year round. If you're somebody who isn't maybe already embedded in that, in the arts world that Aaron described with the early days of Celebrate the Arts. And so it's a really wonderful way that this has evolved from when we all were involved, you know, 7 years ago, Aaron, right?
Yeah, it's been a while.
To now, when it's just one day, this beautiful centered event, really celebrating the power of the arts.
Absolutely. I do love, and we'll talk about them a little bit more, these little stations. So if you're walking around through this festival and all of a sudden you're inspired, don't worry, there's some place you can take that inspiration and make something right there on the spot. Now, I did say we were going to come back to this, so just real quick, because I do have to take a commercial break. Turner, how does the online arts calendar help residents discover events throughout the year?
Sure. well, it's in tandem with our social media, so you have a calendar that's constantly available to you. All of these groups filter into one calendar, and I think it's a huge benefit to be able to see everything that's coming in the arts at any given time. If you do follow us also on the social media, which is in tandem to that, you are weekly given what's coming for the week. And then on the day of an event, you're also reminded that that's happening today. So it's a really, you know, robust scheduling calendar of all of these entities. And I think it's helpful for the those who are interested in the arts.
Yeah. Absolutely. You can just go down that calendar, pay attention to your social media. You know what you're doing for the evening.
That's right. That's right.
And sometimes
there's always something.
There's always something going on with so many great organizations. Everybody's out doing something. So when we come back, we're going to have more with the Bighorn Arts Collective in just a moment. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust is launching our Community Commitment Match to support our local fire districts during this fire season.
First Federal is putting up an initial $35,000, and a Wyoming Community Foundation Donor Advised Fund is matching that $35,000. Now we're asking the community to match an additional $35,000.
Scan the QR codes in any branch office, check our ad in this week's Country Bounty, or drop off a check at our full-service location at 671 Illinois Street. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Joe Biden and the radical Democrats spent recklessly, raised your taxes, and tried to shut down American energy. Their EPA went after Wyoming ranches and farms. The result? Record prices and inflation. Conservative Steve Freese has a plan to make life affordable again.
People ask me, why does everything cost so much? It's simple. Politicians tax too much and spend too much. As a businessman, I know the value of a dollar and how to balance a budget. Take it from me, we can cut spending. Politicians just have to try. In Congress, I'll tighten government's belt. We'll cut outright fraud and keep taxes low. And more energy production means everything costs less.
Steve's plan? Lower taxes, less regulation, stop the fraud, end the reckless spending, produce more Wyoming energy.
I'm Steve Freese, and I prove this message because I want to keep your money in your pocket.
Paid for by Freeze for Wyoming.
The Sheridan Farmers Market is back for another great season at Whitney Commons Park. You'll find local produce, meat, eggs, coffee, baked goods, and outstanding locally handcrafted items this Thursday and every Thursday from 5 to 7 p.m. through September 10th. See the best our hardworking local producers have to offer at the Sheridan Farmers Market, Thursday evenings in Whitney Commons Park. Sponsored in part by Sheridan Media. And remember, please leave your pets at home.
You tell yourself you've got it handled. The rides, the medications, the meals, the cleaning, and the worry. But carrying it all by yourself gets heavy. Synergy Home Care is here to help you breathe again, while making sure your loved one is cared for with patience, respect, and real compassion. From companionship and memory care, to hospital to home support and specialized home care, they show up for the moment that matters most. Visit SynergyHomeCare.com. Call 674-HOME. That's 674-H-O-M-E. Synergy Home Care, local family-owned home care you can count on.
When it comes to imaging, not all technology is the same. At Shared Memorial Hospital, we use some of the most advanced imaging technology in the state, delivering sharper images and faster answers. From a state-of-the-art 3T MRI to advanced CT and X-ray, our technology helps your provider see more and act sooner. Walk in or schedule at Same Day Health and Imaging on Sugarland Drive, open 7 days a week, or visit the outpatient center next to the hospital. For more information, call 672-1000 or visit SheridanHospital.org.
There's a tale from way back long ago.
Welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. The Bighorn Arts Collective is inviting the community to celebrate creativity during the third annual Collective Arts Festival. This is going to be happening Saturday, August 8th at the Whitney Commons. This free event features live performances, local artists, hands-on activities, artists and vendors. There's going to be demonstrations, food, and family-friendly fun, all while showcasing the many arts organizations that make up the collective and the creative talent that we know is all throughout Sheridan County. And this morning we're speaking with Bighorn Arts Collective co-founding member Aaron Butler, program and strategy coordinator Turner Bruce, and over the phone we're joined by the vice president of the Bighorn Arts Collective, Caitlin Adlisberger. Now, just a little while ago, Caitlin spoke on the kinds of hands-on activities that people can participate in during the festival. Aaron, just real quick, when we think about hands-on activities at a festival like this, and I've attended both of these festivals, and it's fantastic to actually walk around and see mostly kids that are, I mean, really taking the time to paint something really nice. Oh, yeah. And it, I just love seeing it. How do you decide... Or who decides, you know what, let's do this hands-on activity, or let's add this year?
So we, amongst our small group, we, before I say too much, I want to shout out that the music that you just heard is from the Imaginaries, who is our headliner for the festival. So I just want to make sure people are aware of that, because they're really groovy, and we hope you come listen to them. But anyway, we do have, we sort of split into different, I guess I'll call them teams within, again, our small group, and various groups plan various aspects of the festival. So in terms of the sort of the planning of the actual, activities that happen, we had a programming committee, we walked through some ideas. We helped plan what we refer to as the experimentation station. And so that came out of last year we were offering workshops and those sorts of hands-on activities, but discovered that people just didn't really want to have to be controlled in that way. Like, they didn't have to show up at a certain time and only be there for an amount of time. And it was hard for folks to maybe plan their day around those sorts of things. So instead, Caitlin and UCross has been really generous to offer something that they've done at some of their festivals, which is sort of a printmaking station. And then, of course, Caitlin came up with this great idea of sort of making haikus and poetry that was far more interactive, and that could last throughout the day as opposed to very specific times during the day. So that's the experimentation station, and then the creation station, which we had last year, is geared for all ages, but really the kids, with the kids in mind, and that is being led by Sage. And so again, speaking talking to people, speaking to people's talents, the things that they've already done. So UCross has this great printmaking station. Sage has this sort of art for kids thing that they are they excel at and they know how to do well. So there'll be opportunities for young people to do lots of different kinds of arts. And then I believe there's, we've been calling it sort of a mural project, although it's not a mural in the sense that you're painting a wall. It's a mural in the sense that it's a large sheet of paper and people can create on that, which will become a larger artwork.
So they can add to this larger artwork.
Right.
That's fantastic. Where will that end up?
That's a good question. I don't know that we know.
I think we have an idea.
Do we?
We actually do have a couple
gosh.
Of ideas.
Okay, okay.
So
tell
I
me.
Think it may turn into something that will be recreated into like a takeable. So something you, all of these art pieces will come together to make like a sticker or something that the community can then.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Get a print or,
yes.
or something and, and hang it up on the fridge and say, hey, you see that little section right there?
That's
something I helped add to that little section right there. That's fantastic. Now, Caitlin, the poetry, the haiku, I think it's absolutely amazing to add something creatively, including the literary arts. Can you tell me how that idea came about? Is that something that UCross has done a lot in the past?
At our last UCross Arts Festival, we had the kind of underlying theme of printmaking and poetry, you know, because we have this wonderful printmaking studio on site. And also, we have a number of really incredible poets who come through here. And so, working with our amazing program committee, we were talking about, like Aaron said, you know, what would be a really wonderful way that people can experiment? Like, what does experimentation look like? And I think that sometimes poetry feels a little inaccessible to people who are maybe less familiar with it. Maybe you had to learn about it in language arts in sixth grade, but if you're not involved in the literary world today, maybe it seems hard to make a haiku. But what's great about a haiku is it's very short. It has very specific rules that once you have kind of spelled out in front of you, you can really work from. I think sometimes having those sorts of boundaries in art can make creativity sing even more. It doesn't have to rhyme. So it's a very fun art form. And so I think it'll be fun to see how people respond and what kind of pieces they create. And we'll be revealing more on Saturday about exactly what this looks like. But we do have a competition, a friendly competition planned in which we will select the top 8 haikus from the day and have them live on in an interactive walking space. And we can't share any more right now, but it is going to be really something wonderful that may inspire people beyond the August 8th Collective Arts Festival.
Now I'm not going to try and milk more information out of this, but but that does sound like it's going to be a pretty fun little thing.
Thanks.
Now, when we talk about artistic demonstrations, I can remember walking through, maybe it was the first or second, I can't remember which one, but there was a potter throwing clay. Mm-hmm. And I became just kind of I don't know how long I stood in front of this guy, but I'm sure he started to feel uncomfortable because it's just standing there watching him make and create this beautiful pot out of clay. It's not something a lot of people get to sit and watch. Mm. Usually they're kind of tucked in their studios, hidden from the world. You see the beautiful end results, but to watch it happen in front of you and the tools that they use, everything from string and small little hooks to make textures, it's incredible to see. What other artistic demonstrations will be there for us to see?
That's a good question. We have a ton of great I'll call them vendors, but part of our artisan village, they're all makers in their own right, and so certainly in the moments that they're there, they'll be making their own things. We do have a fabulous list of them. I don't know if we want to name them all, but what do we have? 20?
Mm-hmm.
The 20 of them
around there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's a really awesome thing to be able to go and look on our Instagram. We do have all of them to date. There are a few more coming, but you can peruse and look through and see who's going to be there and what they're bringing. There's so much variety. You have leather work, you have pottery, you have comic books, you have all kinds of different artists. And I think it's going to be a really wonderful way for them to showcase what they're doing. And I think for all of us to participate in.
I think it would be great, you know, if each artist and vendor not only had, you know, hey, here's what I create up for sale, but I'm in the middle of creating something right now.
Right.
I think that would be fantastic. I just attended the Quick Draw up at the Britain Museum this last weekend. Being able to walk around and just speak with those artists who were, I tried to be quick because they are under a time pressure. But I just can't help myself. I've got to ask those questions. Where did this come from? Did you bring something? Or is this just, you know, shooting from the hip at a Quick Draw? It's so fun for me to be able to learn somebody's process because I've never seen a process be the same. And that goes not just for visual artists, but that also goes for performing artists, for individuals who have to dig somewhere in their past in two separate situations. But I'm going to take both of those situations in my life and create this amazing scene because they're both so human. Everybody's process is different, and I love to learn those. Now, we do have activities specifically planned for the kids. You talked about that little creation station. I think that was the one that when I was walking by, all the kids were sitting there painting something pretty fun. Will there be a face painter there? I'm just going to kind of throw that out there because it is an art. It is an art. And kids absolutely love it. Do we have one?
I don't think no face painters this year.
Unfortunately. But you can come with your face painted.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be fantastic.
Why not?
I think this is also a fantastic opportunity for individuals to throw on some of their fantastic art clothing.
For sure.
And go out there. Style is art, my friends. Mm-hmm. Style is art. I love that. Now, when we look at food and beverages, which is also something that a lot of folks look forward to, who will be in attendance that we can plan on maybe grabbing a bite to eat or grabbing something to stay cool in the sun?
Yeah, we've got great, great food vendors coming. I'm sure you've seen some of these around our town, and Maui Ice will be there, especially if it's hot. It'll be a great vendor to have shaved ice. We have the Culture Kitchen, who provides a variety of different cuisines. They do attempt to be broader, so they're going to be, I believe, providing their whole menu, which is nice. And then we also have Wild Waffle Co., where you will be able to do something sweet or savory, which, you know, who doesn't love a waffle? Sweet or savory. And then we have our beverages and provided by Last Chance, who was our sponsor last year for the same. So we're excited to have those, and they'll be there right there at the festival in the parking lot. So,
well, on that, I've got to take another quick commercial break before James comes in here and throws a chair at me. We're going to have more with the Bighorn Arts Collective just after this. Stick with us. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust is launching our Community Commitment Match to support our local fire districts during this fire season.
First Federal is putting up an initial $35,000, and a Wyoming Community Foundation Donor Advised Fund is matching that $35,000. Now we're asking the community to match an additional $35,000.
Scan the QR codes in any branch office, check our ad in this week's Country Bounty, or drop off a check at our full-service location at 671 Illinois Street. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
The need is growing, the funding isn't. Today, one in four Sheridan County residents is 65 or older. As our senior population grows, the cost of providing services continues to rise while funding no longer keeps pace. On August 18th, vote yes to create a countywide senior citizen service district. Your vote will protect vital services like transportation, meals, wellness programs, and other services offered through the Hub on Smith that help our seniors remain independent. The district could levy up to 2 mills on taxable property to support these programs, with no levy taking effect before July 2027. The amount would be set each year by a voter-elected board of trustees, and every 4 years, voters would decide whether to renew the district. A single levy would generate $623,000 for programs serving Sheridan County seniors. Lives supported, independence preserved. Learn more at SheridanCountySeniorDistrict.org. Paid for by Sheridan County for Seniors 2026 PAC.
Hi, this is Jill Bates with the Bates Team at Best. People often think selling a home is simple as putting a sign in your front yard. It's not. At Best Real Estate, we work our tails off to help you prepare the home for the market. We declutter, stage, define spaces, tie colors together, and yes, sometimes we even put flowers in the shower instead of shampoo bottles. Why? Because buyers don't just buy houses. They buy how a home makes them feel. Clean matters, presentation matters, and first impressions matter. At Best Real Estate, we put your home's best foot forward. Give us a call today at 675-BEST or go online at bestwy.net. Make it a great day.
Hi, this is Dan Marshall with Captain Clean, and I'm proud to be a part of Wyoming's premier cleaning company. Whether we are extracting flood water from your home, cleaning a valued oriental rug, or helping you breathe healthier by air washing your ductwork, we are committed to ensuring our service is the best and our prices fit your budget. Call Captain Clean today, 672-0726, or stop by anytime and tour our rug cleaning facility located in the heart of downtown Sheridan.
We clean more for you.
Here in Wyoming, your roof better be tougher than the weather. At Branded 307 Roofing, we install commercial purlin-bearing roofing, residential metal roofs, and standing seam systems built to handle hail, wind, snow, and whatever else the bighorns can throw at it. Metal roofing is up for the challenge. Whether it's home, shop, ranch, or commercial building, we build roofs that last with craftsmanship that's built different. No shortcuts, no excuses, just quality roofing, period. Call us today, Branded 307, branding Wyoming, one home at a time.
In the winter of 1875, Jesse and Frank were wanted dead or alive. They robbed the stagecoach in Mexico and made out for $2 million of silver and gold.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. The intros this morning have been clips taken from songs by the Imaginaries. This is a headlining band of the third annual Collective Arts Festival. It's going to be happening Saturday, August 8th at Whitney Commons. And this morning we're speaking with Bighorn Arts Collective co-founding member Aaron Butler, program and strategy coordinator Turner Bruce. And over the phone we're joined by the vice president of the Bighorn Arts Collective, Caitlin Adlisberger. Now, how does, and Aaron, I know I've been asking you a lot of questions this morning, my friend, but now we're talking performance.
Yes, I've been waiting. I'm so excited. And,
you know, when it comes to performance, you know your stuff. Mm. So tell me how great it's been to have performance be showcased so much in the Bighorn Arts Collective Festival.
It's great. I mean, I don't know. Is it the best part? In my opinion, it might be. It's the thing that it adds just such a great energy to the festival. Between all the other things that are happening, there will be the main stage, which will be filled with great music and performances starting at 2 all the way to the end of the event at 8. So it's a nice way to take in all sorts of different kinds of art. And then in terms of the live performance, all sorts of different kinds, as Caitlin alluded to, the genres, and the sounds are wildly different from one another, in the best way. So it really just adds a great energy to the festival. And fun to have something, you know, the sort of, we always start our planning, or we have been starting our planning with identifying that headliner, that person, that group, that's going to be sort of the main event for the festival day. And so it's exciting to have an event that sort of drives toward that thing that you've been working on for quite some time.
Now, when it comes to the lineup, what made the Imaginaries this year's great fit?
Well, you've heard them twice now. And in those two clips that we've heard, I think for those who are listening, we'll definitely identify different styles of music. From the first clip we heard, I think was sort of a more blues vibe. This one definitely had sort of more of a Western country feel to it. That in particular was really appealing for this, from this particular group. They do have this beautiful wide range of offerings. And they are, you know, they're sort of grounded in the folk Americana world. But as you've heard, their music varies. And of course, we want to make opportunities for people to hear lots of different things. And someone who's willing to come and participate.
Yeah.
You know, we still are sort of a fledgling festival. We're nothing like, gosh, any number of like huge music festivals that you might think of. And so there has to be, it has to fit the feeling of the festival, because it is not just 100% live professional musicians. You know,
right.
we have some local folks. We have some kids. We have this great Native exhibition. We also have not mentioned Oakley Boycott, who will be there as well, performing Silence separately. But they need to be able to fit sort of that tone that we're wanting to set with the festival. And we think they achieve that, and they're really lovely to work with. So,
Turner,
that helps.
Who is attending the lineup this year? Just so folks know.
Yeah, so we kick it off with April, June, and I think the day just gets going from there. You have Drum Corps after that with Wild Play. They'll also be doing, I don't know how many people, but lots saw The Lion King this past summer, so they'll be doing a little bit of
The
Lion King as well. Yeah. And then as she mentioned, the Native Exhibition Dance will be after that. So a really exciting, I think, visual as well. And Brandon Sprague band will come in after them. And they're, I think, a little bit more of a bluesy.
Mm-hmm. They're from Rapid City.
Rapid City. Yeah. Yep. So, and then we finish it off with the headliner. So the Imaginaries.
You know, when I think about folk music, I think all too often something about folk music has kind of taken a backstage to more popular pop and things that generally get more popular play. I love folk music because it's telling me a story.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times that story is something having to do with America, something in our history. I mean, you hear some sad, sad tales in that stuff. You know, if you've never heard Bob Dylan, North Country Blues, that's a sad little story. But I can't get it out of my head once I hear it, and it stays with me. And I think that's the difference, maybe. Pop, yes, can become an earworm. But folk music stays awesome. With you for another reason. And so I think folks, you know, even if you're not really an artsy type of person, I'll tell you what, everybody loves music. It's a great reason to go down there. And of course, one of the greatest reasons to go down there is to see our own kids from Wild Play get up there. They've worked so hard, and they certainly deserve a big giving audience. Now, I've basically run out of time with you. Is there anything that you would like to talk about that I haven't touched on regarding the upcoming arts festival? And Aaron, I'll start with you.
Well, it's free. So let's not forget to mention
that's
an
that. Important piece.
Absolutely
yes.
Free.
I said the one thing that we just really haven't spent any time on is Oakley Boycott, who is this really wonderful performance artist. It would take too much time for me to describe her, but she's someone that you'll want to experience, and she will be there all day long. And it's pretty inspiring to participate in that, to see her there. So that's what I'll add.
Turner.
You know, I think we covered so much ground. I I think that it's just such a great opportunity. Everyone at some point has done the arts, wants to participate in the arts. Come participate. We would love to have you. I think it's a great celebration, and I just want to invite everyone again. Please come. We would love to see you there.
Caitlin.
I would, you know, plus one everything that my colleagues over there have said. It is a really wonderful, the Collective Arts Festival will be a really wonderful celebration of the arts. And I would also like to thank our sponsors of the Wyoming Cultural Trust Fund, as well as the Scott Foundation and other donors to the Bighorn Arts Collective. Without that kind of support, it would be very challenging, perhaps impossible to put on such a major event. And so we're really grateful for free, to Aaron's point. And so we're really grateful for all of those supporters.
The third annual Collective Arts Festival. It's going to be Saturday, August 8th from 2 to 8 at Whitney Commons in downtown Sheridan. Remember, admission is free. Everyone is invited. Get out there. Enjoy those live performances, the local artists, the hands-on activities, artists and vendors. You're going to have food and a lot of family fun. To learn more, I want you to go on over to the arts calendar, see full festival schedule, visit bighornartscollective.org. And thank you for giving me your time this morning, coming in and speaking with me. I greatly appreciate you guys.
Thank you, Floyd.
You've been listening to Public Pulse, Sun 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust is launching a community commitment match to support our local fire districts by donating $35,000.
Plus, a Wyoming Community Foundation Donor Advised Fund is matching that amount, and now we're asking the community to help us match an additional $35,000. Sheridan County, let's help fund our local fire districts who protect us every day.
Scan the QR codes in any branch office, check our ad in this week's Country Bounty, or drop off a check at our full-service location at 671 Illinois Street. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
I'm Representative Laurie Bratton. In my first term in office, we enacted some much-needed property tax relief for you, the taxpayer. Real property tax reform is next. My opponent recently stated that she believes our current property tax is very fair. Here's what she said.
I believe our correct stance is a property tax that we already have.
I believe our property tax is a very fair property tax.
I disagree. This year, you had to verify residence to get your tax relief. When I saw that the deadline was looming and many of you had not signed up, I acted. I personally paid to send a postcard to everyone who hadn't registered to remind you to sign up for your tax relief, and I'm so glad that many of you did. One of my opponent's supporters actually laughed when he said, "Too bad for them. People should have been paying attention." But I believe we should be fighting for you, not taking advantage of you. I'm Laurie Bratton, and I'm asking for your vote in the primary on August 18th so that I can continue to fight for you.
Paid for by the committee to elect Laurie Bratton.
The media attacks him. The insiders attack him. The political establishment attacks him. Why? Because Chuck Gray gets results. Chuck Gray stood with President Trump and fought to keep President Trump on the ballot. And he defended election integrity, requiring proof of citizenship to vote. Chuck stopped a massive foreign-owned wind project from taking over Wyoming land. And stopped China, because Chuck Gray will always take the fight to America's enemies. In Congress, Chuck will protect girls' sports, take on the woke agenda, and stand with President Trump. President Trump noticed Chuck Gray's America First work.
Chuck Gray. Great job, Chuck.
The attacks are fake. Chuck Gray is fighting for Wyoming values, Wyoming families, and Wyoming's future. Wyoming doesn't back down, and neither does Chuck Gray.
I'm Chuck Gray, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Citizens for Chuck Gray.
Doug, I love my animals.
I can tell.
Really?
Just by looking at your seats in your truck.
Oh, yeah, or my pants when I get out.
Bob, you need to bring your vehicle by Waring Chevrolet Detail Shop. We vacuum, shampoo, steam clean. We'll have it looking and smelling like new.
Even after my dogs?
We've handled it all, Bob.
Get your vehicle back to showroom condition at Waring Chevrolet Detail Shop at 409 Broadway in Sheridan.